Hello, and welcome to our final New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook episode for 2022. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. As always, we highly recommend that you also pick up a reputable, reliable almanac for folk magic, such as the Witch's Almanac, the Welland's Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for December 2022. The full moon will occur on December 7th in the sign of Gemini, yay! And is known as both the Oak Moon and the Cold Moon, or one of my favorite names, the Long Night's Moon. Sounds so witchy. The new moon occurs on the 23rd of December in the sign of Capricorn. Some notable astrological dates. This is a busy month for holidays and lunar astrology. We begin with the month waxing through Aries, which denotes a period of high activity. It's a good time for working with fire, such as candles or bonfires. Leave out your shoes on the evening of December 5th, as St. Nicholas and possibly one of his dark companions like Krampus or Nektruprecht will come and leave you treats in them for the morning of the 6th. The 7th brings us a full moon in Gemini, vibrantly communicative, possibly too much so. It's a good day for baking, especially if you're baking holiday treats with things like tokens or beans in them. Gemini is very good to the beans. On December 12th, we'll have the feast of La Virgen de Guadalupe, who is considered the queen or protector of the Americas, and on the 13th, it's St. Lucy's Day. This is a good day to make St. Lucy's buns, also known as Lucicata, or Lucy's cats, and to light candles in her honor. Young people in Scandinavia even wear them as a crown and parade through the streets. The moon wanes through Virgo and Libra as it enters the final quarter, making it a good time to set things in order and make plans for the holidays in the year ahead. As we reach the winter solstice on the 22nd, we'll be in Sagittarius, making it an ideal time for a party. Get together with people you love and celebrate if you can. And if this is a difficult time of year for you, don't be afraid to let people know that. Sagittarius is also about fiercely protecting those you love. It's a good time to ask for that connection and protection. The new moon on the 23rd makes for a perfect period of introspection and contemplation. It's in Capricorn, which is normally very work-oriented, but it's also important to remember the balance of work is rest. Do restorative spells and divination focused on goals and needs for the coming months. Also, it's not a half-bad time to start thinking about seed catalogs for the spring. We pass back to Aries for the last quarter waxing on the 29th, so be prepared to start the new year with vigor and energy. Although we will be in Taurus by the 1st of January, so also be prepared to fuel that energy with some good food. Next, we'll take a look at cards, divination, and a proverb for the month. For our regular playing card of the month, we're looking at the Ten of Hearts this time, which indicates a cozy fire, a safe home, a happy family, and shelter from the storm. You can envision this as a little cabin with a glowing fireplace during wild winter nights, with snow piling up around the windows and everyone safe and sound within. It's a comforting card, one that says to seek contentment where you are and be grateful for the things that you have. At the same time, it can also represent a type of material and emotional fulfillment. You're learning to focus on what matters most to you and ignoring the distracting storm outside. In conjunction with cards like the Queen of Diamonds or the Ten of Clubs, this can mean a strong sense of physical safety and intimacy in one's home, or a feeling of material stability. If you have a card like the Ace of Clubs connected to this card, however, it could be telling you that you're using your home space as an escape from facing the real world, and that you're going to become very lonely if you don't take time to step outside sometimes too. Our tarot card of the month is the Six of Pentacles. On this card, we see a man clothed in scarlet offering coins to those around him. It's a card of generosity and prosperity, of asking for and receiving help, and of offering what you can to others. When this card comes up in a reading, it usually means that there's someone who can help you and you simply need to ask, but it can also just as easily indicate that you will be called upon for favors and that you need to be willing to offer your help as well. The six is a stable number, balanced and even, and denotes a certain strength of both resources and character. When you see a card like this paired with something like the Emperor or the Empress, You may be being asked to share generously and give what you can to others for their material and spiritual growth. However, if it's paired with something like the Temperance card or the Ten of Wands, it may be indicating that you're giving too much of yourself at the moment, and that you should seek some balance. Our folk divination method of the month is called molybdomancy. This is the practice of using melted lead dropped into water to determine the future. Traditionally, many European people would do molybdomancy on Christmas Eve as a way of predicting either a future romantic partner's occupation or character, or as a way of peering into the coming year. Fun story, when I lived in Prague, this was a typical Christmas Eve divination practice, although they used tin more than lead from what I saw now. The shapes taken by the lead as it hits the water are interpreted in much the same way as tea leaves. A swirl that looks a bit like a mop might mean a year of tidying and cleaning up messes, or it could indicate that a future love interest works in sanitation, for example. Or you might get a blob that looks a bit like a star, meaning a possible partner who works in astronomy or astrology, or maybe even someone who is a star in the sense of being well known for something. Or that you'll get your wish upon a star moment in the year to follow. While you can still find some forms of meltable lead, such as leaded solder wire, lead can also be toxic, so it's entirely possible to use alternatives. The tin I mentioned earlier can sometimes be picked up from science supply shops, for example. An easier way to do this, though, is with wax. You can tilt a candle carefully over a bowl of water and let the wax drip in and interpret those blobs with regard to any questions you ask. Much safer and easier to manage than lead. I also recommend getting sealing wax blocks for this purpose, as they're very pretty even when in melted blob form, and they're much easier to drip, as they're designed to do just that. You can usually find them in craft stores or stationery shops. Here's hoping that the future shapes up brightly for you. Our proverb of the month is attributed to Aristotle, and it says, "To appreciate the beauty of a snowflake, it is necessary to stand out in the cold." There's a long-standing tradition of telling spooky stories in the winter months as a way to pass the time, and so for our folktale this month, I thought we'd share a fun campfire story that I've heard, or read, in some form or another since childhood. There was once a man who traveled the land all over in search of a wife. He saw young and old, rich and poor, pretty and plain, and could not meet with one to his mind. But at last he found a young woman fair and rich, who possessed the supreme crowning glory of having a right arm made of solid gold. He married her right at once, and thought no man so fortunate as he was. They lived happily together, but though he wished people to think otherwise, he was far fonder of the golden arm than all of his wife's gifts besides. One day she died. The husband appeared inconsolable. He put on the blackest black and pulled the longest face at the funeral. But for all that, he got up in the middle of the night, dug up the body, and cut off the golden arm. He hurried home to hide his recovered treasure, and he thought no one would ever know. But the following night, he put the golden arm under his pillow, and just as he was falling asleep, the ghost of his dead wife glided into the room. Stalking up beside, it drew the curtain, and it looked at him reproachfully. He tried hard not to be afraid, and he spoke to the ghost and said, "What have you done with your cheeks so red?" "All withered and wasted away," replied the ghost in a hollow tone. "What have you done with your rosy, rosy red lips?" "All withered and wasted away," came the reply. "What have you done with your golden hair?" "All withered and wasted away," said the ghost. "And what have you done with your golden arm?" "You have it." I know that normally I step in here and try to offer some context about the story we've heard, In this case, I'm sure I could talk to you about respecting the dead, avoiding greed, and all those good moral things. Maybe I could even get into something abstract about darkness and light, light and darkness, I don't know. But truly, sometimes, it's just fun to hear a good ghost story. Happy winter. We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, I thought that you'd probably already have done plenty of decorating and decking of the halls for the season if that's something that you like, so why not get some double duty out of those holiday decorations? One of my favorite carols is The Holly and the Ivy, which goes, "The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown." And both holly and ivy are used in winter decoration because their greenery is thought to bless a home where they're found. One bit of English lore says that keeping a sprig of holly with berries on it in the home from Christmas through Shrove Tuesday will bring great luck, but that you should avoid bringing holly or mistletoe in before Christmas Eve, or in one case, that you should wait until New Year's Day for the mistletoe. According to Judica Elish, medieval Europeans believed that holly wood had the power to protect against wild animals. And while the spell she references involves throwing a piece of holly at an aggressive beast, a contemporary alternative might be to take a small disc of holly wood and inscribe it, painting, carving, or burning, with the name of an animal friend or protector, perhaps a companion pet from your life or even one that you know from books or stories. Wear the disc as a necklace or a bracelet when going into wild places, and possibly consider adding a couple of small bells and jewelry so that that will alert wild animals to your presence long before you see them, and thus ensure that they skedaddle before you make contact. They are, in fact, usually more scared of you. Holly is also thought to be protective against evil spirits. Churches and cemeteries planted holly around their perimeters in England as a way to deter pesky spirits who would get caught in the prickly leaves, and this may also have worked to discourage vandals and some wild animals as well. If you do decide to plant holly, bear in mind that it is best left to grow on its own. It's considered very bad luck to cut down a holly tree. One of the main uses of holly and ivy is in love work. A holly charm recommended by Judica Elish involves picking 9 holly leaves at midnight on a Friday. Without speaking, wrap them in a white cloth like a handkerchief and put that under your pillow. You should dream of your true love before daybreak. Ivy can also be used to determine who your lover will be. A Scottish charm involves plucking an ivy leaf in secret and uttering the words, "Ivy, ivy, I pluck thee. In my bosom I lay thee. The first young man who speaks to me shall surely my true lover be." You can also use ivy to discern who's working against you by wrapping a candle in ivy and burning it carefully with proper safety precautions in a well-ventilated space. Do not leave it unattended for any reason, please. The identity of your foe will become clear, likely through dreams or other omens. Ivy can help determine future illnesses, too, as one New Year's Day divinatory ritual involves laying leaves of ivy on the water New Year's Eve, naming each leaf for loved one, and leaving them there until Twelfth Night, which is January 6th. Any leaves that are still green indicate health for that person, while leaves with black spots or those that have shriveled up reveal who will suffer illness in the year to come. It helps to mark each leaf in some way, as with a dot of nail polish, to ensure you know whose leaf is whose. And that's it for this, your Yuletide entry into the Folk Magician's Notebook. Thank you so much for joining us this month. We hope you have a wonderful month ahead of you. And if you'd like to help show support for us or our work, we would certainly welcome that. You can find us on patreon.com/newworldwitchery, where you can pledge a dollar a month or whatever you can afford, get some fun little perks along the way, and help continue to make the show better and better. If you're looking for us on social media, you can find us a few different places, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and other places like that. You can find us at our website as well, newworldwitchery.com. If you'd like to share feedback with us, we would certainly love to hear from you. Email is often the best way, and you can reach us at compassandkey@gmail.com or at newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Both of those will reach us. That does bring us to a close for the year. We've enjoyed this entire first year of our Folk Magician's Notebook, and we hope you have too. We're looking forward to doing more with this in the coming year. So until then, we'd like to say thanks for listening happy winter holidays, and be well.